Those of you who have siblings or children or even nieces and nephews or grandchildren are probably familiar with the scene that Stephen just read from Numbers 12, verse 4. As the eldest of five children, and with five children of my own, I certainly had a good giggle when I read. Suddenly, the Lord says to Moses, Aaron, and Miriam, come out to the tent of meeting, all three of you. So the three of them went out. I imagine the three of them like naughty children, being scolded by their mother, grumbling under their breath, and blaming each other for whatever misdemeanor they've just perpetrated. Despite the seriousness of the passage, I think we're supposed to see a little bit of humour here. Here are three prophets, the three leaders of Israel. Moses, the deliverer, Aaron, the high priest, Miriam, the poet. All three of them being marched into the tent of meeting for a one-way conversation with God. As they call it in the army, a meeting without coffee. Over the next few weeks, interspersed with some other things, we're going to be looking at some of the women in the Old Testament. And who better to go first in our series than Miriam? After all, Miriam is the first woman in the Bible to be called a prophet. She was the first person in the Bible to lead congregational worship. And through the prophet Micah, God said that Miriam was sent to lead Israel along with her two brothers, Moses and Aaron. And indeed, if it hadn't been for Miriam's courage and forthrightness when Moses was a baby, Moses wouldn't have lived to lead Israel out of Egypt. And the history of God's holy nation would have looked very different. Numbers 12 begins with Aaron and Miriam complaining against Moses because he had married a Cushite. Whilst in the Bible, Cush often refers to Ethiopia, here in Numbers, it refers to another Cush in northern Arabia, more usually called Midian in the Bible. So the Cushite wife of Moses that they are moaning about is Zipporah, the Midianite, Moses' wife Zipporah. Now, you may think there's an element of legitimacy in their complaint. After all, there are parts of the Old Testament where the Israelites are told that they can only marry within the 12 tribes of Israel. And in the books of Ezra and Nehemiah, marriages were dissolved where men had married foreign women. And at this early stage of Israel's establishment, perhaps Miriam and Aaron are right. Shouldn't they be a pure nation? However, Ezra and Nehemiah are very specific situations. And elsewhere in the Old Testament, Israelites are actively encouraged to marry outside the 12 tribes. And in fact, one of the primary purposes of Israel was to spread knowledge and belief of God throughout the world. And there were instructions for bringing people in to the Jewish faith. You may remember that strange story in Exodus 4 when God is about to kill Moses. And it is Zipporah who realizes that it's because they haven't circumcised their son, which she does, and she saves Moses' life. So I don't think that Moses' marriage to Zipporah was the real reason that Aaron and Miriam were grumbling about their brother. I think that was just an excuse. Often in my experience, when someone takes a dislike to someone else, they'll come up with an excuse. They'll pick a problem that on the surface looks legitimate, but really isn't at all. And I think that that is what's going on here. Because just look at the very next line after they complain about Zipporah. Verse 2. Has the Lord only spoken through Moses? Hasn't he spoken through us as well? That is the little green-eyed monster called jealousy. Miriam is jealous of her little brother Moses. In the Shakespeare play Othello, Iago warns Othello, "Beware, my lord, of jealousy. It is the green-eyed monster which doth mock the meat it feeds on." Shakespeare personifies jealousy as a monster which consumes, destroys, and mocks its victim. Aaron and Miriam have broken two of the Ten Commandments. Do not bear false witness. They've tried to get Moses in trouble for marrying a foreigner. Do not covet. They are jealous of Moses, probably for both his seniority over them and his relationship with Yahweh. And Yahweh is having none of it. Like a parent who sees straight through their children's fibs, Yahweh knows the heart of Miriam. He calls her and Aaron forward. "When I speak to a prophet, I do so in visions and dreams. Not so with Moses. With him I speak face to face. He beholds the form of Yahweh." Whilst his brother and sister are standing there quaking in their boots, Moses is probably wondering what on earth is going on. We're told he's the most humble man on the face of the planet. "They said rude things about me and my wife." Well, that's a bit off, isn't it? But they are my brother and sister. Yahweh, however, is fuming. "You knew that this is my relationship with Moses, and yet you dare speak against him." Yahweh departs, and Miriam had become leprous, as white as snow. And when Aaron sees his sister, his reaction is sheer panic. Having just been complaining about Moses' wife and how the Lord doesn't just speak through Moses, Aaron turns to Moses and ironically and immediately acknowledges his brother's superiority. "My Lord," he says to his brother, "please do not hold against us the sin that we have so foolishly committed." I don't know why Miriam was punished and Aaron wasn't. No one seems to know why Miriam was punished and Aaron wasn't. Perhaps it was because she was the oldest sibling and should have set the example. I certainly used to get that from my mother and grandmother. "You're the oldest. You should know better." Perhaps it's because Aaron immediately repented and Miriam didn't. But what we do see is the humility and compassion of Moses. He was more distraught about Miriam's punishment than he was about her vindictive words against him. And so he cries out to God on behalf of his sister, "Oh God, please heal her." And her punishment is reduced to 7 days exclusion from the camp. Miriam then drops out of the narrative of Israel's wanderings until her death is briefly mentioned after 40 years. This is a tragic warning to us. This woman who had been so joyful, this woman who had so lovingly and bravely saved her baby brother, this woman who was a prophet and worship leader, this woman who was called alongside her brothers to lead God's holy nation, was consumed by jealousy and suffered so harshly as a consequence. Do not covet. Do not give false testimony. I saw numerous times as a chaplain, and Nikki sees it in her work almost daily, where people exaggerate or even outright lie when they make a complaint. If you've got a grievance against someone, then make it plainly and make it truthfully. Don't exaggerate. Don't embellish. Just state your case. Don't let jealousy eat you up and mock you and turn you into someone you shouldn't be. And so if those are the don'ts of Miriam, then what are the do's? Well, do be courageous and forthright when it is appropriate and necessary. In Exodus 1, the Egyptian Pharaoh commands that all Hebrew baby boys are killed at birth. Moses is born in Exodus 2, and his mother is able to hide him until he's about 3 months old, when she places him in a basket and floats him down the River Nile. Miriam follows to see what happens. And when he is discovered by Pharaoh's daughter, Miriam offers to go and find a wet nurse for him and returns with their mother. And so, like Miriam, do be courageous and confident and forthright when it is needed and appropriate. The passage from Exodus 15 that we opened the service with occurred immediately after the Israelites had safely crossed the Red Sea, and they had seen the pursuing Egyptians' army being destroyed. This passage in Exodus 15 is Moses' song of praise and gratitude to God for their deliverance. And as Moses finishes his song, we're told that Miriam the prophet, Aaron's sister, took a timbrel in her hand, and all the women followed her with timbrels and dancing. Miriam sang to them, "Sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted. Both horse and driver he has hurled into the sea." This is the first occasion that someone leads congregational worship in the whole Bible. And it's a woman, and it's Miriam. So we are called, both men and women, to be worshippers of God. To sing, to dance, to play musical instruments, to celebrate God's victory in our own lives and the lives of others. To show gratitude and to pour out our love for him in response to his love for us. I'm glad that the final mention of Miriam in the Bible isn't of her leprosy and her exclusion from Israel, nor is it the throwaway mention of her death. But it's in the prophet Micah, one of the three great leaders of the nation, is how Miriam is to be remembered. "I brought you out of Egypt and redeemed you from the land of slavery. I sent Moses to you, also Aaron and Miriam." So the two don'ts of Miriam: don't fib, don't exaggerate, don't embellish, especially not about your brothers and sisters in the faith. Don't let jealousy consume you. And the two do's of Miriam: do be courageous, and do sing praise to God. Mm-hmm.